This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
This is the Inside Pitch with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team coach, Peter Caliendo.
Do not forget to go to www.ncsasports.org to find out how they can help you with your college recruiting process in any sport. If you like the show, here's a way that you can help us. If you're going to buy something on Amazon, especially my new book on youth baseball drills, do us a favor. First, go to the website, click on the Amazon banner. It doesn't cost you anything, gives us credit, helps to keep the show going. So go to Amazon.com, and we know that you guys buy a lot of stuff on Amazon, so if you're going to do it anyways, help us out by going to Amazon.com and buying your products through there. Also, we love receiving your emails on what you thought about the show. It's very important to us. When you go to the website, give us a rating, whether it's on iTunes or Stitcher. Email us topics that you'd like to hear, coaching questions, recommendations of guests. Anything you'd like us to know, please make sure you email us. Also, if you email me and you're interested in my 5-Set Baseball Coaches Instructional DVDs, which has over 100 games, drills, and skills to help you organize your practice, email me at info@baseballoutsidethebox.com. That's info@baseballoutsidethebox.com. If you do that today, I'll throw in 2 more DVDs for free, and we'll email you all the details. Okay, now, we are back with Nelson Gord, the head scout for the National Collegiate Scouting Association. He's the head recruiter and the educational speaker that goes around right now the whole country educating players, coaches, and parents about the recruiting service and also about the recruiting process. He's also the head baseball coach at Notre Dame High School. Okay, Nelson, let's continue. And what I believe is a very important talk and helping educate everyone in the game, you know, about the recruiting process. We've got players that are coming from all over the world now, you know, that are being recruited by colleges, whether it's the Dominican Republic, whether it's Europe, whether it's Asia. I know I'm involved a lot because I get a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails, players that want to play, you know, in the States at the collegiate level. It's becoming a global game. It's 120 countries around the world. Give us an idea internationally what a player can do. I'm assuming he can do the same thing as far as the recruiting process and also the service.
Yeah, actually, you know, through NCSA, I've spoke with players from all throughout the world. You know, Australia is really kind of a bigger up-and-coming baseball country. You know, Pete, I had the chance to go out to Italy with you, and I know there's some talent out there, as well as some of the other European countries. Down, you know, I know the Caribbean and the islands are well recognized because of the Dominican and some of the countries down there, but we've had players from the Bahamas come up and play for us during the summer. So baseball really is a global game, and there is opportunities within U.S. colleges for those international players. The challenges with some of that is just kind of sorting through the admissions process and what credits will transfer over and how they're going to be recognized as a student, and there's also the student visas and all that. The nice thing is, and kind of convenient that we just talked about the community colleges, oftentimes going that route is going to be easier than being admitted straight into a four-year university. So for any of the international players that are out there, you know, that's definitely something to look into, and then you can make that transition into a four-year college or university from there.
You know, and I forgot, of course, how did I forget Australia? They also speak English, which I am assuming is a benefit because players that do speak English are going to have a little bit better chance of getting in quicker into the school. What about the kids that don't speak Spanish? Is there a process there? Or, excuse me, don't speak English. Is there a process there?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the different universities and stuff, they do have ESL programs. But one thing that we forget, and I think we are kind of ethnocentric in a way when it comes to being in the United States, is that most countries outside of here, you know, they speak better English than we're able to speak their languages.
Yeah.
So most of the players that I've encountered from other countries, based on their travel and based on their own, you know, educational system within their country, you know, English is a priority because they understand that it's spoken throughout the world. So oftentimes the hurdle isn't that great to overcome, and, you know, they're prepared to attend school and go through that here in the States.
Well, you know, this isn't going to be a politically correct statement. And, you know, on the show, we like to kind of go against the status quo. When you brought up education, the first thing I thought about was, you know, I spent a lot of time all over the world, and, you know, education is foremost the number one thing in most countries. Now, I'm not saying it isn't in the U.S., but I can tell you this, when I was a young kid, you know, my cousins in Europe were learning things in first grade that I was learning in third grade. So I think education-wise, you're getting kids that are extremely educated, not only in the English language, but in general. So they, like the Japanese kid that I had come into Harper, he did very well and jumped in, and he didn't even speak any word of English. I'm just wondering if that was the reverse process, how many of our kids can handle going overseas, because I've dealt with a lot of kids. But here's the interesting part. You know, it's becoming pretty competitive then, right? Because we're talking about earlier 53,000 players out of almost 500,000 who are going to compete for that spot. Only 53,000 players making it to college baseball out of 500,000. Now we're talking about globally it's opening up. Those numbers are going to get, and these kids are hungry also. Those numbers are even getting tougher for our U.S. kids.
Yeah, yeah, without question. And I think that's one of the areas that parents and players need to recognize is that depending on where you're going in the world, you know, the amount of time investment that some of those other players are putting in on the field, developing their skills on their own, you know, is greater than what we're doing here. So not only are they more prepared in a lot of ways, culturally and everything else, but just, you know, the effort day in and day out that they put in. It doesn't require necessarily doing lessons or having a spectacular facility to work out in. They're very resourceful, you know, and when you're resourceful and opportunistic, you know, that's where doors start to open and you start to create something pretty special. And I think a lot of those international players do have that, the ability to get things done even in not the best of circumstances.
You know, and I bring that up on a positive note because I want our kids in the U.S. to understand that, you know, things just aren't given to you just because you're American or because you happen to be at a certain high school. You know, if you can't compete and you can't, you know, educate yourself, you know, there's going to be a lot of competition out there. There's a lot of kids out there around the world that want to play baseball in the U.S., so they're actually going the extra step. Now, that brings up a point that I want to ask you about college coaches. Put your high school hat on here, maybe. And you mentioned a little bit of it, but I want to get into a little bit more. As a high school coach, college coach calls you. What's the first thing they ask about that particular player that maybe you recommended or they heard of?
Yeah, well, I think it always is going to start with their skill set and their skill level, but they're not going to be calling you unless they already heard that that might be on par.
Right.
And then beyond that, it's going to be the grades, you know, academically. Do they have it on paper? You know, do they have the test scores? Do they have the grades to get in here? And then the third piece, once those two check out, is going to be a lot about, you know, the player's makeup. Is it going to be a guy that we're going to want to be around for the next 4 or 5 years? You know, is he going to show up on time? Is he going to present himself well? Is he going to represent my baseball program and this university in the best way possible, or are we going to be taking a gamble? You know, so those are things that, you know, that's why coaches can come out and see players and make a determination if they think they can play at that level. Looking black and white on paper at their grades is easy to assess, but the number one reason that a college coach is going to call me is to get all those other tidbits of information, you know, because we're the people that are around them day in and day out and experience their personality and can give them some insight on that.
Sure, and as we go around, you and I, you know, have done a lot of the USA Baseball Great Lakes, NTIS. camps, and we continue to educate the parents and the coaches at all the camps on these issues. But now, let's talk about, when you talk about grades, grades are important, and the college coach obviously sees the grades and understands them. Why are grades that important? We understand that they got to get it. If they don't have good grades, they're not getting to the school. That's important. But why else would grades be good or important for a college coach?
Well, the way that a lot of guys look at it, you could break it down into the actual grades, their transcript, and then their test scores. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of coaches say that if they see a kid with a really high test score, but their GPA is down, somewhere in the middle or below, that suggests to them that they don't work very hard. That they have a lot of talent, they're very intelligent, but if their GPA is pretty low, they're obviously not doing some of their homework, they might not be prepared for some of the tests at the school, they're not just getting done the day-to-day work. And I think it's kind of an overused term, but very applicable here. They just don't grind it. They don't grind it out, meaning they don't just show up ready to go at each and every day. And a lot of times you see those kids are the same way on the baseball field. They might have a lot of ability, but they just, they don't go 100% all the time. They might not be on and off the field hard all the time. They're just not always prepared the way that others are.
And for our listeners, cover GPA so they understand it. So there's some listeners out there that may not understand the term GPA.
Yeah, GPA is your grade point average and might be on a 4-point scale, which is most traditional. Some schools use a 5-point. Others have their own variation of it. But it's just the average of all the grades that you have.
I gotcha. And professional teams, they have a large investment when they sign a player professionally. So they do a lot of homework. And college baseball's got to be the same. I would assume, I know at USA Baseball, we go as far as looking at parents. And we have cut players on because of parents. Explain how that process works. The parents are part of the recruiting process, aren't they?
Yeah, well, you definitely don't want to typecast a kid, based on his parents. But the age-old phrase, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, mm-hmm. plays out more often than not. And, again, you don't want to be overly critical of a kid. You want them to stand on their own 2 feet. But if you're around parents, I know at one of the most recent workouts that we had, there was one of the dads was just hounding the person at the registration table.
Yeah.
And, he turned to me at one point, he's like, should we just cross him off the list now? but it's true, because if you're going to be a person or part of a family, it's going to create tension and harm and excuses. You don't want to be associated with that. You don't even want to run the risk of having that happen in the future, just because it's really not worth it. And that tends to drag a whole team down, mm-hmm. regardless of the division, regardless of it's professional or amateur or college. You just don't want negative energy around you, So I think most schools are pretty leery when it comes to those things.
Yeah, I agree. And I think college coaches are going to look at it as these kids are adults now, I don't want the parents calling me, and asking me why he's not playing or this and that. It's time to, deal with those issues on your own as a player, as an adult, as an individual. Let me ask you now, as we're talking about the recruiting process, is there certain rules where you can go see so many schools or they can only call you? Explain some of that process. It may be different, I know, at different levels.
Sure. And that's one of the areas where NCSA is really important for the families, is because those recruiting rules and regulations, they change so rapidly. Just in the past, 2 years, those key recruiting dates have changed. So for years and years and years, it was always, July 1st going into your senior year was the first time that Division I programs could call you. Now that's all the way up to September 1st of your junior year, so we almost gained a full year on that. And that was just as a result of the recruiting process being sped up. As far as you as an athlete communicating with schools, that's a misconception. As an eighth grader, as a seventh grader, you could pick up the phone and you could call a college coach, and if they answer the phone, you could talk to them. Okay, and that's one area where they're like, oh, I'll wait for the coach to call me. I'll wait. And while they're waiting, there are other players that are reaching out to them. Same thing occurs when you're talking about visits on college campuses. If you go to visit a school and you go into the athletic department and you're on campus, with the exception of a few dead periods or quiet periods in the recruiting calendar, you could sit down and talk to the coaches. You could really do whatever, take a campus tour, as long as you're within the confines of that particular campus. When it comes to official visits, you know, those are unofficial visits. When it comes to official visits, those mean that the school is actually paying for you to stay overnight, paying for your meals, essentially wining and dining you, trying to get you to go to the school. You're limited to having only 5 of those, and they can only occur in your senior year. So whereas in years past, you know, before the process sped up, those were kind of like the final opportunity for the college to get the player to go there. Oftentimes those official visits now are used after a player already commits to the school. So things have changed a little bit in that light as well.
Sure, and, for all our listeners, obviously, you know, this particular interview isn't going to solve or give you all the information that you're going to need, because it is a long process. It is a difficult process to understand all the different rules. NCSA, that's why we recommend them. That's why USA Baseball partners up with them. It's because, you know, they're there. They understand the process. They understand the service, you know, how all this works. And they can lead you in the right direction so you don't waste your time. And I wish I had this service, Nelson, when I was younger, because I think it would have helped me understand in selecting a college, not just from a baseball perspective, but also from an educational perspective, because I didn't have that guidance. And I think there's a lot of parents and players out there that need it. So, you know, don't take this show as this is going to give you all the answers. We hope you'll contact ncsasports.org. And also Nelson Gord will give you that information later. And what I want to do now, Nelson, before we end the show, I want to ask you a couple other questions about the process when it comes to selecting a college. Who's recruiting who? Is the college recruiting the player, or is the player and parents recruiting the college when it comes to the particular coach or college that they're going to go to?
Well, it's clearly a two-way street, and, you know, the key to any recruiting relationship, and I don't mean this in a negative sense, but both parties need to have some kind of leverage. If you're talking about a high-level College World Series type team, their leverage is the product they put on the field every year, the talent they have, the facilities that they have, so a number of players want to attend that school for all those reasons. If you're talking about the other way around with a player that has crazy talent and is ultra developed and has all those other things that schools look for, that's going to be their leverage. But again, in both cases, we're talking about 1% of everybody. For everybody else, you know, your leverage is going to be how knowledgeable you are, how many other opportunities that you have, and, you know, really how well-versed you are and what the recruiting landscape looks like. So if you only have a couple schools that you're looking at, you know, you're at the mercy of whatever schools that you're talking to. If you've went on visits to 10, 15, 20 different schools, and they don't have to be overnight visits, they might just be, you know, a couple hours with an admissions counselor and a campus tour, you have a better understanding, and then that's going to equal, you know, some sort of financial aid package, which then you can compare and contrast and use that when talking to the different coaches and different schools that you're interested in.
And when let's say you're that player who is being recruited, maybe 4 or 5 schools, you know, whether any level, and I'm going to go in with my parents and talk to the coach. What are you looking for in a coach? What do you recommend to look for in a coach?
A lot of that's dependent on you as a player and what type of personality that you have. Mm-hmm. I know that myself as a player, I was really hard on myself and really tough and really kind of intrinsically motivated. So I didn't need a coach that was going to be a yeller and a screamer because I did enough of that to myself. So I needed somebody that was a little bit more laid back and more detail-oriented and kept me on the straight and narrow. You know, for other players, it might be the opposite. For other parents, it might be the opposite. Maybe, you know, you've had a track record of, you know, needing a little kick in the butt from time to time, so you need that coach that's more parental and affirmative and tends to ride you. So those are one of the things that you want to look for, and also look at the coach's track record. You know, what is their rate of graduation for players? You know, are they only graduating 80% of players? Or are they graduating 95% plus? What's the GPA of the players in the program? You know, does he put academics and education at the forefront, or is that a side note? All those things are going to end up, you know, kind of formulating what you want to look for and help you make that decision.
You know, baseball is becoming a bigger business, obviously, and that's fine. There's a lot of services out there when it comes to training, development, and all that. And parents are spending a lot of money. They've got to decide, you know, where they're going to spend their money. You know, one of the things that kids have been told is to, you know, if you can, try to attend the college's baseball camps that they have, so the coaches get to know you and see you a little bit. But I'm assuming if you're going to do that, it's going to cost you money. You also need to identify the particular school, so you're just not doing that at any school.
Yeah, I mean, you want to look at, there's two reasons that you would go to a college camp. One could be the experience. You know, Coastal Carolina wins the College World Series this year. Maybe you want to experience what their culture, what their facilities, everything are like. Sure, go do that. You know, that's like going to Cooperstown when you're 12 or going to Cal Ripken Complex when you're 13 and doing all those like more recreational type things. The second reason would be to, you know, showcase your skills for that school. And I would never recommend doing that unless you first had a conversation with that coaching staff. If it's a situation where, you know, you've been in communication and they know of you and you know about them and you say, hey, coach, I'm coming to this camp, they're going to bear down and look at you a little bit harder than just if you were another name on their list. So it's all perspective and it's all based on what you're looking to get out of that particular camp.
We're going to go into another question. And then at the end here, Nelson, you're going to have the chance to talk to all our listeners around the world here in the U.S. Anything you'd like to say about NCSA, about the recruiting process, any advice that you want to give parents and so forth? But before we do that, you know, your organization also, because you've got videos and you've got all this other, the website and all that, you know, kids really don't need to send videos in anymore because this is all being done online with NCSA, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what makes it easy for the process, is that if you have all of your information in one place and you're organized, your video, your transcripts, your coach references, rather than sending out a packet of information, you know, you simply have a web link, a URL that you could text, tweet, email to a coach, and they have everything they need and more right there at their fingertips.
Yeah, and the reason I brought that up, because you know, you're going to have people say, and I want to address it because I want to answer the questions that I believe people are going to ask. They're going to say, well, why should I go with NCSA when I can, you know, shoot my own video, put my own stats together, mail those out to all the different college coaches? But, you know, obviously there's a lot. That's why they need to do their homework, because if they listen to the interview, there's a lot more than just that. And NCSA does that and a lot more.
Sure. And that's, you know, if you go back to the number of 1,643 schools that play college baseball, and you took the time or you added up the time it would take to put together information for each one of them, develop that rapport with each one of them, get that information in their hands, you know, that's a full-time job in itself. And, you know, every day, because I'm involved in travel baseball and high school baseball and the showcase circuit and USA baseball, and I see so many different players, you know, families spend thousands upon thousands of dollars attending events and attending tournaments and spending it on travel each summer and each fall. But then they balk at an opportunity for ongoing education and someone helping them get organized and have everything in one place. And, you know, I have no problem telling players that I coach personally that the investment that you make in a tool and resources like NCSA, you know, have a greater return on investment than spending a week, you know, down in Atlanta, you know, or Florida. I'm not saying you shouldn't do those things. I love those things. They're great events. I set them up all the time. But if you had to choose one over the other, you know, you could have a bad week or you could be injured for a week and spend $3,000, $4,000 as a family going on a trip to a tournament, and then it's over. It's done with. A tool like this, you could start when you're in eighth grade. You could start when you're a freshman, and you're going to get 1,000-plus days out of utilizing it and being able to send it to the schools that you're interested in.
Yeah, and I didn't ask that. We didn't talk about that. So you get over 1,000 days. That's great.
It's unlimited. It's from the time you create your profile and you become a member, you know, and that follows you all the way through high school. If you choose to go to a junior college or a two-year school, it'll take you from a two-year school to a four-year school. If you go to a four-year school and you want to transfer out, you know, your membership's for a lifetime. So it never ends.
I did not know that. That is outstanding. And I'll tell you what, no, I agree with you 100% because I was thinking about that in the back of my mind. What a great investment for long term. You know, it could also eventually, you know, there's no guarantees, but if you end up getting to a school that you didn't think you could get to, it could end up getting a scholarship, and that small investment could end up saving you money when it comes to going to school. So I think that's outstanding.
And the average, and just so you put some numbers to that, the average financial package for a player that's gone through the program is about just under $60,000 for four years. So, you know, not saying that that's 100% because of NCSA or even 50% because of NCSA, but the numbers are the numbers. And
it's simple. It's, you know, you're going to go to a doctor. You know, if you're sick, you go to a doctor. You know, if you're, if you're two-thirds, you go to a dentist. You don't go to a carpenter. Here we're going to the experts. Why not utilize the experts that understand the recruiting process? Just makes totally sense. And in the back of my mind, I was also thinking, you know, Coastal Carolina won that College World Series. I bet their baseball camps went up as far as numbers.
Oh, no doubt. And think about the number of players that, number of families never even heard of Coastal Carolina before this year.
Absolutely.
And that's one really neat thing, too. And I know we're trying to close it out here, but with NCSA and with the membership portion of it, obviously, once you become a member, the staff gets to know more about you, and you search around the website more, and you fill out more questionnaires. So one really neat thing is our development team came up with this matching algorithm, and it works a lot like, you know, Match.com for data dating services, or, you know, LinkedIn and stuff like that, where based on your information and then based on the coach and the school's recruiting history and their current roster openings and everything else, it takes those two things together and then gives you a match percentage. You know, how likely is that school to recruit you? And I've seen players end up at schools that neither of us have really heard of because their match percentages were 90% plus. We've had kids that have been cut from their high school teams, you know, big high school programs, but didn't get an opportunity. You know, and they find scholarship offers in different parts of the country just because the demographics and the concentration of players is so great in certain areas as opposed to others.
Wow. You know, and I've always believed, and this just reaffirms it, that if you are an average, even a below average player like I was, I played college baseball. I had no, I shouldn't have been, but I found the right college. And I was able to, you know, I mean, and it just goes to show that if you really want to find a college to play at, as long as you're not stubborn and you think you can play it at only a certain level, then you can really find a place to play.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, I've had a kid that had one at-bat for me in 2 years of high school baseball, you know, was getting $17,000 a year at a small school up in Wisconsin. So the opportunities are out there. It's just whether or not you're passionate enough and willing enough to open up your eyes and look at and seeing those opportunities.
All right, so here's your final chance. Nelson Gord, great friend of mine, super individual, great baseball coach. give any advice you'd like to give our audience. Let's finish it up with that, and then hopefully we'll have you back even on another show. You're the only guy that's been on two shows, by the way, so you know.
I'll take that as a pat on the back. Hey, but there's no better way to spend a day or spend an hour than talking about the game. And, you know, that would be my advice to families. It's just, you know, you have to make decisions for yourself, what's in the best interest of you. And the more educated and the more information that you have, the better off ultimately you're going to be. And, you know, I relate it to somebody cleaning your house versus you cleaning it yourself. You know, some people who have all the time in the world are able to do it efficiently. Others might be ultra busy, so they have to pay somebody to do it. Well, the same thing holds true here to an extent. You know, the recruiting process is difficult. It's complicated. It's time consuming. And I would say any coach out there, you know, or any family doesn't have the time to do it for everybody. So if you can have someone hold your hand and organize it and, you know, point you in the right direction at every turn, it's going to streamline the process and make it a lot less confusing and, you know, help you find some opportunities that you might never knew existed otherwise. So that would be my advice to you.
Fantastic. And Nelson, thanks again for being on the show. This was extremely informative. I can't wait till the show gets out there and people get a chance to listen to it, because I think it's going to educate not only people in the U.S. on this process, but all over the world. So again, on behalf of our show, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you.
And to all our listeners, we really appreciate listening to the show. Without you, we would not have a show. And we're getting more and more listeners, not only in the U.S., but around the world. And keep telling your people out there about the show, because the more you tell them, the more listeners we get. And don't forget, go to www.ncsasports.org for more details about Nelson Gord and the college sports recruiting process. You can also help our show by spreading all our social media information onto your social media, because that'll get the show out there. Don't forget, we're on Twitter. Our new Twitter handle is @baseballout. Again, @baseballout. If you follow the Twitter, you're going to see a lot of baseball tips, a lot of videos, and different information about baseball development. And don't forget to our Facebook page, facebook.com/baseballoutsidethebox. And our website, baseballoutsidethebox.com. Please email me with any information you'd like, peter@insidepitchpodcast.com. If you have any questions, we're going to change that email, by the way, and just listen to the first part of the show, because it'll have the new email on there. But any questions you might have about the show or anything else, feel free to contact us. And remember, coaches' education is the key to building the foundation of our sport. So keep getting smarter as a coach, player, parent, by listening to our show and all the interviews on all the great baseball minds that we have. And we bring to you the innovative thoughts and that we like to challenge the status quo. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Have a great coaching day, and we'll see you on the next show.
This has been the Inside Pitch with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at insidepitchpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.